Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 4. Andrew, Mercedes, and Matt follow Daniel through the back entrance to the Windy City and through the same type of gray, industrial-looking corridors Andrew remembered from their last visit. It was clear that all the money going to decorate the casino in the lush 1920s style didn't extend behind the scenes. The three detectives felt utterly lost in the labyrinth of corridors, but Daniel walked like he knew them like the back of his hand.
"We have to come in this way so nobody sees you enter. We've had to corner off the casino for the moment, blaming it on water damage from a broken pipe, but we can't use that excuse much longer," he said as he guided them to a small door, which he opened with a keycard. They followed him onto the casino floor.
Matt, who had never seen a casino before, looked around with wide eyes, while Mercedes and Andrew were both struck by the eerie difference from last time they were here. The slot machines were quiet, the blackjack tables empty, and the constant level of noise and chatter that had filled the entire ground floor of the hotel was now almost entirely gone. Only a faint rumbling sound could be heard from the air conditioning systems, as well as the sound of very distant conversations. Daniel pointed to a line of temporary walls erected at one end of the casino floor, effectively blocking it off from the front lobby and the elevator banks.
"Those keep people out, for now at least. We've got a bit of privacy. You can put your bags and that sort of thing down here if you don't want to carry them around."
They piled their luggage next to a large potted plant, and Daniel looked around.
"Now, let me show you what I mean. Let's go over to the slots first."
He led the way while he pulled out his cell phone and held it to his ear.
"Mike, it's me. Could you send a couple of the dealers down? Well, actually, one will be enough, and a croupier as well. I'm hoping they stuck around the property like I told them to. Thanks."
"What does the Gaming Commission say to all this?" Andrew asked Daniel.
"I mean, aren't you basically saying your normal gambling has too low of a payout since you're trying to minimize it?"
"All casinos minimize their payouts. That's just how it works and how we stay open. But to answer your question, they're not saying anything because we haven't told them. And if you guys do your jobs, we won't ever have to involve them. We'll just stick to the broken water pipe story."
Walking through the empty casino didn't take long, since there were no crowds to avoid or blocked-off areas to detour around. Daniel led them to a bank of slot machines and produced a quarter from his pocket.
"Who wants to do the honors?"
"I will," Mercedes said, taking the quarter.
"I've always wanted to play these things, but last time we were here there wasn't really a chance."
She put the coin in the machine, pulled the handle, and watched the three wheels spin around. Daniel turned his face a little away, almost like he didn't like to watch. The wheels spun, spun, and with three clicks, they stopped at three matching symbols, three little cars.
"Dios mío!"
Mercedes cried in surprise as the machine began giving a hooting siren sound and a red light on top of the machine began to turn around. A mechanical voice announced,
"Big winner! Big winner!"
"What just happened?"
Andrew said, looking at the bottom of the machine, expecting coins to fall out, but not seeing anything.
"I thought you said..."
Matt put his hand on Andrew's shoulder and pointed a finger. Andrew followed his gaze. Between the slots was a platform, on which stood a red Audi. Normally, it looked like the platform would rotate, showing the car from all angles, but right now it didn't move, and the spotlights normally illuminating it had been turned off.
"I think she just won that," Matt said.
Mercedes had, for a moment, forgotten that this was a demonstration. She jumped up and down in excitement.
"I want a car! I want a car!"
"Relax, Mercedes," Andrew said, grinning a little at seeing her so happy. "It was just Daniel making a point. I don't think he's going to let us take it home."
"Damn!"
Mercedes kicked the carpet in mock frustration.
"You had me going for a moment."
"So, okay, I just want a car for a quarter. That's pretty cool, but not exactly a conclusive supernatural event. I mean, I could just be lucky, right?"
"You could, and yes, it does happen that people win the car. This particular slot has 64 stops on each wheel, which means that the odds of you winning the jackpot are 1 to 262,144. That means we usually give out a car twice or three times a year. But sure, it could just be a coincidence. Now, come over here." Daniel walked away from the slots, and they followed him. Mercedes looked over her shoulder at the red car with a sad look, but shook her head. It wasn't like she didn't own a car, and it had just been a test. Daniel led them to the blackjack table, where a dealer had shown up. As most of the people who worked in the Windy City were, he was dressed to look like he lived in the 1920s, to match the decor, but he seemed unusually glum for a dealer. Andrew had been to casinos before, even though he wasn't a gambler, and he remembered the dealers being polite, smiling, and friendly. This guy looked like he had lost his brother in a fire.
"Daniel," the dealer said.
"Frankie," Daniel replied. "Everyone, this is Frankie, one of our best dealers. He's got the reputation of being not only good with the cards, but also an expert at spotting someone trying to cheat." Daniel put his hand on Frankie's shoulder. "He was one of the first ones to report this problem to me, so I trust his judgment. If he says something's wrong, something is definitely wrong."
"Okay, let's see,"
Andrew said, and they all took seats around the table. Matt sat on the edge of his seat, not knowing if he could participate or not.
"Play like you normally would," Daniel said.
Andrew looked at Frankie, who pulled the first card from the deck, slid it across to Andrew, and turned it over. It was a 10. The next card was a 4, giving him a total of 14.
"Hit me," Andrew said, grinning. "You know, I haven't played this for a while. I'd forgotten how fun it is."
Frankie turned another card, producing a 7.
21, he said. "And now you?"
Frankie turned his own cards. A 5, a 9, a 10.
24. You win."
"Okay, but again,"
Mercedes began, but Daniel nodded at Frankie.
"Okay, do 5 in a row."
Frankie did as he was asked, playing quick hands to Andrew and Mercedes. Every time, their total would come up to 21 exactly, and every time, Frankie would himself go over. Matt could see Cougar stirring on the floor as she looked around the casino. Her eyes shone.
"What are you looking at?"
he whispered, making Daniel turn his head.
"Who are you talking to?"
"Nobody. Just don't mind me. Keep playing."
Matt leaned down to Cougar, who sniffed the air.
"Something's not right here," she said, baring her teeth. "I sense something powerful. Not a spirit like he thinks, but something different. Make them keep playing. I'll look around a bit."
She walked off between the tables, tail swinging.
"Okay, so I see your point."
Andrew looked at all the played hands in front of him, which Frankie had left there for effect.
"Everyone's a winner, except you guys."
"Exactly. But you haven't seen the worst. This had me worried someone was cheating and we were missing it. This last thing made me call you guys. Follow me to the roulette table.
Thanks, Frankie. You're done for now.
Frankie scooped up the cards as they got to their feet and moved several tables away to the long roulette table. A croupier stood next to the green table where you made your bets. In front of him were a couple of stacks of chips.
Give them something to bet, Daniel said, and the croupier handed a couple of the chips to Andrew and Mercedes, looked at Matt, and then put the rest of the chips down.
Mercedes looked at the table.
Do I bet on a number or red or black?
Doesn't matter, but for effect, let's say a number, Daniel said.
Mercedes put her chips down on the number 25. Andrew put his on 40.
Now, obviously, you can't both win, since you're betting on different numbers.
In a sense, the supernatural power apparently chooses who it likes the best, Daniel said.
Now, we'll see if it likes men or women best this time. It's had a tendency to favor the men.
Isn't that precious? Mercedes said, her voice sarcastic. Even the supernatural forces are sexist.
The croupier spun the roulette wheel and dropped the ball in. They all heard the clacking sound as the little ball jumped from slot to slot in the wheel.
Now, watch closely, Daniel said, and they all leaned in so they could look straight down into the wheel.
The little ball jumped, rolled, jumped again, and settled in number 30. The wheel slowed, and suddenly the ball jumped up as if it had been given extra energy, jumped 10 spaces, and landed on the number 40 with a small, almost tired click.
Holy mac and cheese, Andrew said, his eyes wide.
That wasn't a coincidence.
No, that was something weird, Mercedes said. It was like there was some guy standing next to the wheel and he just picked up the ball and dropped it again.
Exactly.
Daniel sat down on one of the chairs next to the table.
I'm honestly at my wit's end here, guys. Please tell me you can solve this, and fast. Pull out your proton packs and get rid of whatever it is.
Well, we're definitely going to try, Andrew said. Matt, what do you...
He turned his head, but while they had looked at the ball, Matt had disappeared.
Where the hell did he go?
Mercedes said.
Maybe he saw something to investigate. I'll have surveillance find him. Remember, everywhere in this hotel is covered by cameras.
Daniel held his phone to his ear again.
Mike? Yeah, can you find the kid who was with us until a minute ago?
Matt felt almost like someone was holding him by a leash. He had slid off the chair and run in between the tables, ducking down and moving in a half crawl, feeling the cat-like energy of Cougar rush through his body. He moved behind a couple of banks of slot machines, ducked under some palm trees, and came up to one of the small lounge areas that littered the casino. Cougar was waiting for him, lying half crouched on the floor, her tail up. She looked like she didn't know whether to fight or to run.
What's wrong?
Matt said, as he himself came up beside her and remained in his cat-like posture as well.
There. Don't you see it?
Cougar said, inclining her head to the couch in front of her.
See what?
Matt squinted.
The Japanese man, or God, or whatever he is.
Matt felt a chill run up his spine.
God? A Japanese god? No, I don't see anything.
Cougar turned one eye to him while the other stayed fixed on the couch.
On that couch is a creature that to me looks like a Japanese man, but I also know that when only I can see him, he's not human. Can you make me see him as well? Like, I don't know, give me your eyes or something.
Cougar made a sound somewhere between a purr and a growl.
Let's try this.
Matt felt his eyesight change suddenly and had to close his eyes for a second to adjust. The light became brighter, the colors sharper, almost like that day at the beach, but in a different way. This felt like he suddenly saw through the world itself, saw the layers of reality peeling away. Then, a moment later, he could see the man Cougar was talking about. Lying on the couch, looking fairly relaxed, was a chubby man with yellow skin and almond eyes. He was black-haired and had a matching goatee and was wearing a green kimono. He observed them with eyes that were full of awareness, yet calm and relaxed. Next to him, on the floor, stood what looked like a wooden hammer, and a flat black hat lay on his stomach.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, Matt said, raising his hand in a friendly greeting.
So, I'm Matt, and I work for Tempus Investigations.
The man closed his eyes, nodded once, opened them again.
Great. My friend here, she's Cougar, and she's saying she thinks you're a god or something. Are you?
The man again closed his eyes and nodded.
Oh, crap. Okay, well, I've never talked to a god before, so please don't take me as rude if I say something wrong.
You've talked to me, Cougar said. Most people would consider me a god.
The man smiled for the first time, and it transformed his face. From looking glum and dark, he looked suddenly more like a laughing Buddha.
It's all right.
His voice was low, deep, and rich, and Matt was sure he could hear it with his own ears, not just Cougar's heightened senses.
I am not offended easily.
Great. So I'm guessing if you're a god, it's you who've been doing all of this?
Matt gestured around to show the empty casino.
You're the one making people win big and the cards being stacked like in the movies?
The man nodded again.
I am Daikokuten.
The tone in his voice, or maybe it wasn't a real voice. Matt now wasn't sure if he actually heard him speak with his ears or with his mind, seemed to suggest that this was meant as an answer, but it made no sense to him. Matt heard footsteps coming from behind the slot machines, and a few moments later, Daniel, Andrew, and Mercedes rounded the corner.
Don't just wander off like that,
Andrew said, putting a hand on Matt's shoulder.
This place is huge, and it's a maze. You might get lost.
I'm not lost. I found the thing that's causing this.
Matt smiled proudly.
He's right there.
His finger pointed to the empty couch. Daniel's eyes went back and forth a few times, but Mercedes and Andrew realized what he meant.
Is it a spirit?
Mercedes asked, and then continued the question.
Can you see spirits now?
No. Well, yeah, Cougar can. She let me look through her eyes, and I can see him. He's right there, a man, lying on the couch.
Talk about hiring the right people, Andrew said. Spirit vision, as well as superpowers and computer skills? If you learn to do the budget and shoot a gun, you can replace the whole damn team.
Matt blushed, but Mercedes cut through the chatter.
Okay, so what do you see? And can you talk to him, like Jim can?
Yes. He said his name is Daikenza Seiko.
Matt trailed off and looked over at the reclined spirit.
I'm sorry, could you say it again?
Daikokuten,
the spirit replied slowly, still smiling.
Daikokuten,
Matt repeated.
He says it like it means something.
On it.
Andrew pulled out his cell phone and typed the name into it. He scanned the screen.
Well, that would explain a lot. Apparently, Daikokuten is the god of luck.
What's he doing in my casino?
Daniel said, looking at them.
We really don't need luck around here, at least not in the amounts he's been dishing it out.
Daikokuten sat up slowly and looked around at them. Although, apart from Matt, none of them could see him. He stretched, put his hat on, and suddenly he began to become visible, fading into reality. Mercedes, Andrew, and Daniel all saw him appear as he got to his feet.
I am sorry.
His voice was now a real voice, deep and rich.
I am not used to speaking to humans directly. Normally, my duties are more abstract.
Mercedes and Andrew had seen too much in their lives to be more than slightly impressed, but Daniel gaped. He quickly recovered, though.
Look, Mr. Daikokunu.
Daikokuten.
Right. I'm not sure what it is you've been doing here, but as you might have noticed, you're costing my hotel here a lot of money.
Andrew whispered in his ear.
Maybe you want to think about toning it down a notch. If this guy is powerful enough to do what we've seen here, he's one of the most powerful spirits I've ever seen, since the one that tore our old office apart.
Daniel bit his lip and stopped talking. Daikokuten, however, nodded enthusiastically.
Yes, yes, I know. People are winning. When I came here, everybody lost. But now, everyone's a winner. Isn't it wonderful?
Not to us, Daniel said.
But to the people,
Daikokuten chuckled.
It's not often I work directly with people. As I said, normally it's a lot more abstract, bringing luck to harvests or bounty to fishermen. But I enjoy seeing people get happy when they win.
But even though you're making people happy by winning, you're making a lot of other people unhappy,
Mercedes said.
You know, this place has thousands of employees, and right now, because of what you've been doing, they might all get fired. That's not particularly lucky. In fact, I'd say that more people are getting bad luck than good luck.
That's true.
The spirit looked like he turned it over in his head.
Look, why are you even here in the first place?
Daniel said.
What made you come to the Windy?
Daikokuten focused on him.
Have you been out in the world lately? This world is in dire need of some luck right now. People are unhappy in a lot of places.
That's true, but not here, Mercedes said. Las Vegas isn't an unhappy place at all. People come here to have fun.
Maybe so. And perhaps you are right. I could do so much more. Instead of bringing luck in one casino, I could do it in all the casinos in the city. Then people would have much more fun. Everyone would win.
No.
Mercedes shook her head, making her black hair fly back and forth over her face.
You don't get it. That's not it at all. Don't you see? Why would you want to bring luck to a city that basically is risk incarnate?
Daikokuten's brow furrowed.
I do not understand.
Okay,
Mercedes said, taking a step forward.
It's like this. People go to Las Vegas to take a chance. They want to play, to gamble, to bet something, that they might win something. It's a game of chance. If you know something would work out, why even do it? You want to feel like you're alive. Like there's danger and excitement and risk. You want to have things change, see new things. It's just like a roller coaster. It's only fun if you don't know what's happening, because then you feel like everything can happen. If there was no risk, no thrill in anything.
She trailed off and held up her hand to her mouth.
Oh my.
She looked at Daikokuten, who in turn smiled like she had just completed a puzzle. He made a "go on" gesture, but she couldn't. Things were falling into place inside her head.
What's wrong?
Andrew said.
Nothing. I think I just told myself something I needed to hear.
She blushed.
Something about Charlie.
What does Charlie have to do with this? Matt said.
What indeed?
Daikokten said in a dreamy voice. She realized he had known what she would say all along, had perhaps even put the idea in her head.
Nothing. Never mind, she said. The point is, Daikokten, when people come here, they want a thrill, and if they already know they win every time, it's no fun.
Well, financially, maybe, for the winners, but not for the losers, the city itself and all the people working here. If you keep making people lucky here, you'll make even more people unlucky. Do you understand? The spirit looked at her with his bright eyes, seeming to look into Mercedes' dark ones.
Yes, I think I do. Do you understand what I meant for you to know as well?
Mercedes smiled.
I think I do, too.
So does that mean you'll stop making people lucky here? Daniel said.
Please say you will. I'll literally do anything.
It will not be necessary to do anything.
Daikokten picked up the hammer from the floor.
I will leave on my own accord. I can see that my plan to spread luck to the less fortunate was not a good idea.
No, Mercedes said. It was a great idea. You should definitely do that. Just not here. There are hundreds of places where good luck would be amazing. People who have nothing at all, they would really benefit from it. Just maybe not gamblers in Vegas.
Where would you suggest I go?
Daikokten said, his face still smiling and remaining focused on Mercedes.
You seem to understand a great deal.
Well, there are lots of people who had it rough this year, Mercedes said. I mean, people who lost their homes in fires and floods in the Midwest, or up in California, or Michigan, where they have no clean water. Or no, you know what? Go south. Go across the border and keep heading south. They need all the luck they can get. Oh, and make sure you give your luck to the right people.
Luck has no wrong or right, Daikokten said. Luck simply is.
He smiled at them.
I thank you. You have given me something to think about. And perhaps I have given you something as well. I have enjoyed this very much. My blessing on all of you.
He put his hammer up on one shoulder and turned on his heel. As he began walking, he faded away slowly, and with the fourth step, he was completely gone, even from Matt's cougar eyes.
Was that it?
Daniel said. He just left?
I think so.
Andrew scratched his head.
Sort of funny when you think about it. It sounded like he was just waiting for us to get here. Us specifically, I mean.
Maybe he was.
Mercedes rubbed her fingers together.
I think that he might have been here to tell me something. Something I should have been smart enough to realize by myself, and something I sort of wished Connie had said to me. But I don't think I want to talk about it. I have to think about it a little more.
Andrew and Matt looked at each other, and then both shrugged. If Mercedes wasn't going to tell them what she meant, neither wanted to pry.
So, do we still get our free rooms?
Andrew said, turning to Daniel.
I mean, I think you can reopen the casino now and tell people your water problem has been taken care of.
Daniel looked around the empty casino, smiling.
Yes, yes, of course. I'll get you some rooms. It's the least I can do. Thank you, all of you. Oh, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You're the honored guests of the Windy City, and everything you want, you shall have. Shows, dinners, you just name it.
He pushed a button on his phone.
Mike, get operations to remove the barricade,
and tell the dealers that break time is over. Let's get this casino open again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.